Station of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
A very good Monday to you and yours. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you on this marvelous Monday. It is a day in which we look back at the weekend that was a loaded weekend, to be sure. And you know what? We should probably just open up the show doing one of these. I mean, how good was that yesterday? He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you. How is your Monday going so far, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a lot better now that we got the Masters music in the background.
Isn't this fantastic?
Yes.
I mean, I could go to sleep to this. We could do the entire show just this music. By the way, for what it's worth,
this is like the 10-hour long.
It's
one.
An hour and 2 minutes. So, I mean, we'll probably get, you know, hit for copyright or something like that. I don't know, for a full hour's show of this. But, man alive, the sounds of Augusta. Isn't that just a beautiful thing?
It really is. And it was a emotional tournament, I feel like, there yesterday. I mean, what a day three, or was it day four?
Day four, yep.
Day four of the Masters. Unbelievable finish.
Really, really good stuff. And I know you were doing the Smitty's game there with Ryan Martin, who will be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Smitty's baseball. Team that put up 43 runs in two games, which is just bananas. Pretty much feels like, doesn't matter if they're playing high school ball or Legion ball, they're putting up runs. But I will tell you, my mom was glued to the TV yesterday watching that. I mean, and I will tell you this, as a new dad, newer dad, my first daughter, who's 22 months old, she was watching golf with us there yesterday, and just my responses of watching it, just the, oh, no, and putting my hands on my head and seeing her do it afterwards was like the cutest thing ever. Because I'm rooting for Rory. The dude has always been so close to that peak of that summit. It's kind of like Paul Roche. You know, he's been so close. Finally, Roche is at the very, very top, wins the State B tournament here this year. And Rory has been so close for so many times, and finally he gets the job done. But he almost didn't. I mean, he kind of kicked it away there a little bit, it felt like, on the 18th green, and just found a way to get it done there in the first play.
He almost lost it twice. He put one in the water on 12-2 and then backed it up. How about that shot he had after the fact? Like, he was near the pine straw and hooked it onto the green and was able to bounce back after the one on 12. But I thought it was almost one of those things where you were almost waiting for Rory to lose it, and he never did. And you got to give him a lot of credit. He went out there and won it, and that was the big thing that I saw. Rose, he had a nice little end there. He birdied, I think it was 18, to get to 11, and I couldn't believe when Rory missed that six-footer on 18. I'm like, are you kidding me? I really didn't give him much of a chance in the playoff. I thought, you're so close to winning. How do you regroup and go back to 18 and play a playoff like that? It's amazing how these guys can just get that out of his head, because Rory didn't start the day off well. He doubled one, and it looked like Bryson was going to take control, and then Bryson struggled. Guys came out of nowhere. It was an awesome Sunday. It was awesome, man.
It was absolute cinema, for sure. And it felt like Saturday night, with a great finish of Bryson birdieing, did he even eagle 18? Was that birdie?
Yeah, he birdied 18.
Birdied 18, yeah. That,
off the fringe.
That shot that he had, I was in the hotel room in the Twin Cities yelling at my TV. I'm like, let's go! 12-10, this is a two-stroke differential between Rory and DeChambeau. This could be phenomenal, and Bryson kind of fell apart there yesterday, but it was a great finish anyway.
After two holes, Bryson actually had the lead.
Yeah.
It took two holes before Rory was struggling a little bit. He only shot one over for the day, but I'm happy for Rory. You mentioned he's been chasing that Grand Slam. He's been chasing the green jacket, and he hasn't won a major since 2014. He's had a good year. He won the Players in a playoff earlier this year, and now he won the green jacket. And you got to think now it's not necessarily in his head anymore. Is he going to start winning a little bit more because he was chasing that green jacket? He's got the confidence now. I wouldn't be surprised if he went on a little run here.
Very elite crew. I mean, when you're talking Jack, Tiger, you're in very rarefied air, and now he's done that. So congratulations to Rory McIlroy, and golly, this is just so good.
It's different, man.
It does. I mean, we talk about the NFL and how great that is, the March Madness theme. This has got to be right up there, too.
I think so.
This is so good.
You just know what kind of season it is when you hear this, and I was thinking about this. There's just no other major like it. Like, you could talk about the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about the Open, the PGA. This is the best one. Everybody, you're not even a golf. People don't even need to be golf fans.
My mom.
And they're into it. Your daughter, your 22-year-old daughter's into it.
Yes, correct. Should we just do the show? Just, hello, friends. Welcome to the Sports Hub. It's great to have you here. Sit back. Relax. Stay a while. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. The patrons are ready. All right, that's enough of that. I just had to. That's just so good. All right, we call him Matt McClure. We also call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on FSA. 1420 and 98.5. And oh, by the way, not only does he have that big 800-pound gorilla off his back, now he also has $4.2 million in his paycheck as well, in his banking account. That's right, for winning the Masters there yesterday, $4.2 million for Rory. That's a nice little chunk of change for a nice four-day stretch there at Augusta.
I think so. That's a good amount of money for sure. And I was looking at the top 20. I think they all get pretty decent mm-hmm. payouts if you're in the top 20.
They really do. And 4.2 is, of course, the most for a finishing in first place. Now, watching the Masters this last weekend, it never ceases to amaze me, and I tweeted this out on Saturday. The fact, and I get it, they're professionals and this is what they do for a living, but the fact that the guys and gals running camera can just find the ball mid-flight and to be zoomed in on it never ceases to amaze me. I don't know what school you go to figure that out, but you're talking about a tiny little golf ball.
Are you talking about like the shot tracers? Like that yellow shot tracer?
No, no, no. Like just
the
ball is in the air. You know,
yeah.
Let's say you tee off on hole 9. The ball is in the air. The person running camera can find that ball in the air and track it, and it's all zoomed in too. I don't know if that's AI or if that's skill. I don't know how that's possible. But whoever runs camera for that, that's an incredible skill to just
yes.
find the ball immediately. But to your point, I don't know how they do the tracker there as
like
well.
Like a live
that's pretty
shot
cool.
tracer. Like usually you see guys that you could probably go back and post and edit it.
Yeah.
That's live. It's amazing how they can do that.
And they've been doing it for years too.
Mm-hmm.
So, which makes me think maybe it's not AI. Right?
I think it's just experience. They got the best crew. You got to think about it that way. You got the best, I don't know how many cameras there are either, but they got the best crew at the Masters, bottom line.
Oh, no question about it. No, by the way, obviously I've never broadcast, well, maybe it's not obvious to some, but it's obvious to me. I've never broadcast golf before, but if I were to broadcast golf, and I've seen this, I'll use the word mistake that broadcasters do sometimes. Whenever a shot goes in the air, and you don't really know what to say, the broadcaster goes, he likes it. It's like sometimes they don't, and they're walking off, and it's like in the pine straw. It's like he likes – no, he doesn't really like it, actually. Maybe he's angry. He's just really, really hiding it very well. By the way, when do we ever utilize the words pine straw other than Masters Week? Right?
Yeah.
We never talk about pine straw anywhere else. It's only at Augusta.
Only at Augusta with the pine straw. There's no doubt about it, but – and it's amazing how those guys, too, they can hit it out of that. It's like nothing. Or some of those bunker shots that Rory had. Like, no problem getting it out. Like, how in the world do these guys do it? But, yeah, to your point, there was one Bryce that had a drive, and the one announcer's like, yeah, I think he likes it. And it just rolled into the bunker.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to like that, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. By the way, big shout out to the patrons. The overhead sky shots of all those people is just crazy. How they're all there to watch all the action there at 10 and 18. In particular, there with the playoff on 18. And someone tweeted this out yesterday, and I think it's kind of true. This is going to be a super hot take. But she said, this is from Nicole Arbach on social media. She said, these crowd reaction shots are so great and pure. Maybe we should ban cell phones from more sporting events. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, heck, maybe you're onto something there a little bit.
I got a point.
How many times do you watch a concert or something like that on YouTube and everyone's just doing this? Everyone's got the iPad. Everyone's got the phone. It's just like, is it possible for you to just be there in the moment without looking through a tiny little screen?
Mm-hmm.
It's totally in HD behind the screen. Why do you have to be on your phone the entire time? I think, you know, maybe she's onto something.
Yeah, I think she's onto something because you see pictures sometimes of, like, buzzer beaters and, yeah, and basketball. Have you ever seen, like, you'll zoom in and everybody's just got their phone out like this? And it's like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think maybe she's onto something, and there are so many photos where those stills are, there's, like, one or two people that are just, like, watching the game, and 98% of the rest of the frame is just people behind the cell phone. And it's just, it's kind of the way and the nature of 2025, and that's how we live. But I don't know. I think she's onto something, and the patrons yesterday were phenomenal. No two ways about that. So I mentioned I was in the Twin Cities this last weekend, and I was thinking about going to the Twins game on Saturday. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, I'll be in the Twin Cities. It's not that far of a drive from Bloomington, which was where I was. I'll check out the game on Saturday. I didn't. I got into town a little bit later than I would have anticipated. And it's a good thing I didn't, because they lost 4-0. And, of course, it's been a really rough start to the season here for the Twins. By the way, they are taking on the first and last place teams in the NL East this week, taking on the Mets, first place team, and then the Braves, last place team. But if there was a game to go to this last weekend for the Twins, it was yesterday. Yesterday was the unveiling of the Joe Mauer statue. And how many times do we see a statue that's done and you're like, how did they put this together? Who designed this? This is absolutely brutal. The Joe Mauer statue is not one of those.
Wow.
The Joe Mauer statue was phenomenally done. And that's
Joe. That looks great.
It looks outstanding. This is the best thing the Twins have done this year, and it's the statue. And it's basically him in the ready position throwing the ball with his catcher's mitt on. His hat is backwards, the catcher hat, as it were, a helmet. And it's just so well done, pretty much lifelike, life-size, maybe a little bit bigger than actually Joe Mauer is. If Joe Mauer is 6'5", I think he's about that. This is probably close to 6'9 or 6'10", but extremely well done there for the folks from the
Twin
Cities.
That looks great. That looks spot on. When you brought up statue, remember last year when the Dwayne Wade statue came out?
Yes.
And it got a lot of heat, like, what is this? So when you brought it up, I'm like, oh, did we see another Dwayne Wade? But that one looks awesome. And the picture there with Mauer right in front of it, big fan. When I go to a game this summer, I'll have to get a picture with that for sure.
Yeah, and no pun intended, by the way, got a lot of heat last year with Dwayne Wade. But yeah, that was terribly done.
Yeah.
Terribly done. But this one is outstanding. Now, we were also trading a couple text messages back and forth this morning. Jose Miranda got tagged out at second base yesterday. Or was that actually? That was on Saturday.
Saturday. It was Saturday.
That was on the Saturday game. I'm sorry.
So
you're right.
You missed that on Saturday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Completely biffed that. But Jose Miranda slides into second base, and the guy who's covering second for Detroit trying to turn a double play, he's not on second base. So Miranda slides in safely, and the umpire is like, yeah, you're safe. you're in. And then Miranda just stands up and walks off like he is out. He gets naturally tagged out there after the play's over. And speaking of over, well, he's no longer in the majors. He's been sent down. I'm sure he'll be back at some point in time, but he's
sent down. He got DFA'd after that.
Yeah, sent down to AAA. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was my first reaction when I saw it. I was like, oh, did the umpire call him out or safe? And it was pretty clear that the umpire gave the safe sign and just a brain fart in that moment. And then you texted me after. I mean, to see him get sent down to the minors after that, Rocco's like, hey, we're done with this. We can't make these mental mistakes here in early April.
Speaking of Rocco, at what point in time do the fans and everybody else start to get a little bit trigger happy on social media, saying like, all right, we gotta have the Rocco wagon be taken off the
tracks. It's coming sooner rather than later if they don't turn it around, that's for sure. I wouldn't be surprised every time he comes out for a mound visit, they're booing him.
You know,
you're getting close.
What is it in Dallas? It's like the Fire Nico chants or whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy too.
Those are really, really loud.
And he hates those.
Oh yeah. I mean, you
could see it.
Yeah.
Like his facial expression. He had Mark Cuban at the Lakers Mavericks game. Mm-hmm. He's got his hands over his face.
Why would you even go? Watch it from your living room. Or watch it from a box or something like that, like way in the back. People don't know you're in there.
Man, the Fire Nico chants or something, though.
They really are. I mean, they are loud and loud, and they get louder and louder. But, yeah, maybe Twins fans need to start being a little bit more vocal about Rocco because, to be honest with you, I was a little bit shocked that he wasn't let go in the offseason. And the fact that he's back and
– You said that right away, too.
Yeah.
Right after the season was over, you were like, hey, you start maybe thinking about moving on from him, and they – We were both pretty surprised that they announced he was coming back, and wow, it just hasn't been a good – this is the second year in a row, a bad start in mid-April, and last year they turned it around like right at this time. Right at this time last year they started to play a little bit better, but they're going to have to play better. The AL Central, it's up for grabs. No one in the division's that good. I mean, I'm looking at it. Royals are decent. Guardians are okay. But the division's up for grabs. You're not super far behind. You just got to turn it around right now.
Absolutely. All right, coming on back with the Sports Hub next, we're talking some Aberdeen Wings as their playoff push is officially done. They are in. We needed basically one more point for the Wings to clinch a playoff berth. And for what it's worth, even if the Wings struggled this last weekend at home, which they didn't, they played really solid hockey against North Iowa, they needed the Norsemen to lose one of their final two games. And thank you, Watertown. The Shamrocks actually defeated St. Cloud there on Friday night, 2-1. So we'll talk about that from the Wings perspective and what's on tap for them, and then some Aberdeen Smitty's talk towards the bottom of the hour. Ryan Martin will join us live in studio in about 15 minutes.
You want the truth?
You can't handle the truth.
David Tewksbury gives it to you daily on the Sports Hub on FSA.
Well, sometimes. I don't know about daily. I don't know about the truth and everything else like that, but the truth is, social media has got a hold of Concordia, Nebraska, and Mount Marty, and we're talking about this off the air. I mean, there is a really, really, really brutal call for a strike two count in the top of the sixth inning.
What are the other batter's box?
What are we doing here with this?
I don't know what that is. That's bad. That's bad umpiring, is what it is.
That's really, really rough. So look for that on social media, and it's like
just looking at it over again.
Like, it's like 3 feet. If I were the batter, I'd be getting tossed on this one. 100%. I would take my hat off. I would throw my bat. I would create a scene, man.
Well, it looks like that was a 1-1 pitch.
Yeah.
So it didn't strike him out, but if that was like the third strike.
Yeah. 0-1 pitch, now 0-2.
Yeah. That would have been a lot worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's either way. It's just bad. It's bad news. Well, speaking of good news, how about the Aberdeen Wings? A nice weekend for them at home at the ODI Center as they downed the North Iowa Bulls there 6-2 on Friday night. Bryce Johnson finding the back of the rope twice. Jibber Cool, Ryder Many Gray Horses, Sebastian Lilsund, Nikolai Tishkovich, and everybody else finding the back of the rope there as well. Damon Cunningham was peppered quite a bit, only sneezed twice, 38 saves on 40 shots faced as the Wings officially punch their ticket to the postseason, 6-2 victors there on Friday night, and then ironically enough, also winning 6-2 on Saturday. So the Wings have won, what now, 9 straight games?
Yep.
And they are finding themselves in the postseason once again. They are the 4 seed as they'll do battle with Bismarck this upcoming Friday and Saturday. best three out of five for the first round of the playoffs here. And, you know, it's not an easy draw. You're the four seed against the one seed, but you're playing some pretty good hockey right now. So I think this is going to be a kind of a 50-50 weekend.
I think it is too, because you're 100% in my opinion, because I think you could just throw out the beginning of the season, really. What I mean by that is when you've played them earlier on in the season. And this is a team that's got 18 straight points. They've won 9 in a row. They're playing their best hockey right now. You're coming off a sweep versus Minot last weekend. You come here in a high-pressure situation where you're trying to clinch a playoff spot. You take care of business. And now you got a Bismarck team that, yes, you've struggled against this year. And we looked at it last week, and it's just not a great record against Bismarck. But when you've won 9 in a row and you're on a heater, that doesn't really matter to me.
It was, what, 2-6?
Yeah, 2-6.
So it's not like it was 0-8. Like, you've won a couple games. It's not going to be easy. But, yeah, to your point, you're on a heater right now. Momentum is a thing, and they've got it.
They got it. And, you know, we talked about it last week a little bit, but you're going to have to steal a game on the road, which is what they did last year. And they had an opportunity to win that series at home last year and then just didn't play well in that game. I believe it was 4, and then went back to Bismarck in Game 5 and got shut out. But this is a different team right now. I felt like, you know, last year they kind of struggled a little bit at times. You're playing your best hockey at the right time of the season. And they got guys that can really just put the puck in the net right now. Jibber Cool, Bryce Johnson, Chiskovich. And these guys are all contributing. They're top four, and we talked to Cy about this last week. They're top four really contributing. And Cunningham, you mentioned it. He's playing some good netminder between the pipes, man. I wouldn't want to play. If I'm Bismarck, you want to play this team right now? Heck no.
Well, I think you said one thing that's very, very key, is they've got guys, plural. It's not one guy that's finding the back of the rope. They've got multiple players that can really step it up offensively. It's not one guy you have to neutralize on a certain line and you say, okay, we slow this guy down, it's curtains. We're going to feel really, really good. How many times this season have we said, this guy found the back of the rope, this guy found the back of the rope? They've got 5 different goal scorers in this game. They've got 6 different goal scorers in this game. That's what they had on Saturday. They had 6 goals, won by 6 different guys.
Yep.
So it's not just one or two guys that the opposition says, we slow this guy down, we're going to win. The Wings are very, very diverse offensively.
Yeah, I think so. And we talked about that earlier in the season, just unable to score. Like, they get a good goaltending performance. Just we talked to Scott Langer about it earlier this year. Like, just, hey, we're not scoring right now. We're getting good chances, but they're not going in the net. And now you're starting to see those chances come. And I think they're playing a little bit more physical. They're not taking any junk from these other teams. They're getting in their face. They're playing a little bit more physical, and you're starting to see that. I mean, there was a couple scrums there versus North Iowa. They're playing a little physical brand of hockey, a togetherness type of hockey, and you love to see that from the Aberdeen Wings.
You also love to see the teddies fly.
I know, yes.
I know Cy was big on that last Monday, and I tell you what, those teddies were flying. And it's a good thing. Maybe I shouldn't say good thing, but there's been times where the fans have to wait and wait and wait. It's the third period with 5 minutes to go, and we still haven't thrown any teddies yet. It was early in that game. Let's let those bad boys fly, right?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It can be so kind of annoying, right? You're like, we got these teddy bears. We need to get a goal.
It's like burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah, come on. Score. And they did it early, and it got the crowd involved right away.
Yep.
And I think the Wings were a little bit juiced in that first because they got a couple penalties in that first, but the penalty kill was spectacular over the weekend. Really nice job on the PK.
To your point, though, I'm right there with you. I think you got to steal one, or both would be ideal, certainly.
Hey, if you steal both, you're in the driver's seat, man.
Yeah, big time. If you can steal both of these games, but they always say a series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. That's kind of a weird cliche. I never understood that, but I tell you what, they need to get at least one or two on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, you get down 0-2, you're in trouble. I mean, that's just, it's the bottom line. They're a good team on their home ice. If you can steal one and then have home ice advantage, you're going to be right there. I think this is a 50-50 series, too, because I really believe that. And it's just the way the Wings have been playing here recently is why I think that.
I think that's just it, is if you would have said it's going to be a 50-50 playoff series 2.5 months ago, just knowing, hey, they're probably going to play Bismarck in the first round. It's like, eh, maybe it's like 75-25, 80-20. But the way the Wings are playing right now makes it 50-50. So looking forward to the playoffs here, certainly coming up.
Playoffs?
There
what
he is.
Talk about?
You know,
playoffs?
He was just lurking.
You kidding me?
No.
Playoffs?
Yes, yes, the playoffs. Indeed.
Lurking in the pine straw.
He's lurking in the pine straw. Absolutely. It's just off the ice there. There's just pine. Why is there pine straw out here? What's the deal? But up there in Bismarck and at the Yodi as well, somebody brought the pine straw. And looking forward to those matchups. 7:15 for your puck drop Friday and Saturday night there in Bismarck on 94.1 The Rock with Cy Evanuk on the play-by-play. And again, it's a best-of-five series, so first team that wins three wins that series there. Coming up next, a great start for the Aberdeen Smitties, putting up 43 runs over two games. We'll talk about that as Ryan Martin will join us live in studio after a quick timeout. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Little liner there talking about football. Fridays are for football. Or if you listen to Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, any day is a football Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
That cracks me up.
I know. Those two guys are a hoot for sure. That's, of course, on your morning drive right here on FSA. Ryan Martin, the voice of your Aberdeen Smitties. And, Ryan, whether we're talking Legion or high school baseball, when Coach Ganelli pieces together a squad, you're going to expect to see some fireworks there. 43 runs in two games yesterday, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, me and Matt talked about that on the broadcast. You know, he's got a definite, distinct style. You know, he demands certain things on the bases, demands certain things from his pitchers. So, yeah, he's definitely a great start. You know, when you get the offense going like that and the chatter's coming out of the dugout and, you know, it's just kind of a huge game as far as the opener, and they played phenomenal.
Yeah, Ryan, and you know, we talked a little bit about the pitching staff, what they were able to do, and you know, you thought it was funny when Ganelli said, hey, we got 18 players on the roster and 18 pitchers.
Yeah.
And he kept on throwing guys out there, and we were talking a little bit about it. You know, if somebody's struggling on the mound, he's not afraid to pull him and bring in the next guy.
Yeah, yeah, and he's no different with his number one starter all the way down. If you come in and you walk a couple guys and can't find your spot, and I agree with that. You know, how many times have you ever seen a kid at the high school level lose it and get it back? So just having that ability to get him out, and there's the other side of it too. When a scenario where, you know, a kid may have made a quality start and came in relief and he's got confidence, and all of a sudden a couple guys get out there and he's a gapper away from thinking he played horrible, get him out of there. Why not? I mean, he got you into the fourth or the fifth, or it's just, there's an art to that. I think that's where coaching comes in big time, I think.
So yesterday, as Ryan Martin joins us here on FSA, you had the tailgate there at 3:30. Can it kind of walk us through the atmosphere? Matt was saying that was pretty solid there yesterday.
Yeah, had a canopy going on over there, free hot dogs, gave out some food, had some youth players there making the tunnel for the Legion players coming out to the field. And there's all kinds of aspects like that, right? And the Alumni Association is doing a great job. Kerry Jacobson's taken over that page and kind of handling that. And guy that hit 25 bombs at SDSU, outstanding player, you know, just kind of having that connection to the alumni, right? You want your alumni coming back watching games. Right, and that is so key, I think.
Looking at the squad, we talked about the 43 runs, but there was an individual that really stood out to you in those two games.
JL.
Yeah, JL.
I got two that kid, I tell you what, left-hander, inside-out swing, covers all kinds of ground in center field. Never seen the kid play, but he's worth sitting at Fossum in his own. This kid is an absolute player. You can see it. His mantra, just the way he handles himself, was impressive, I thought, Matt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, what I noticed with the Smitty's hitters there, too, is they weren't afraid to go the other way. Like, we saw gappers left center field with lefties up. Dutenhofer, he's a right-handed batter. He hit one to the gap right center. Foss hit one.
Yep.
So, using all the fields. You don't usually see that at the high school level because you're trying to pull everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm strong enough. I can pull the outside pitch down the third base line, down the left field line. So that's what impressed me, being able to just take it where it was pitched. If it was an outside pitch, they were able to drive it the other way.
Well, candidly, I think all three of us would admit to this, and I think probably agree, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. There were a lot of times last year in the Legion season where we were kind of texting back and forth, like, just put a guy in position to score, bunt him over, do the little things. There were such We got to hit the home run. We got to hit the big pop. It's like, that's great. Love home runs. Love rounding all the bags and all that. But sometimes you got to do the little things. Obviously, it's extremely early. It's only two games into this thing here. But it feels like this is a team that's going to play a little bit more smaller ball if necessary.
Yeah. When you start talking the experience level of high school baseball players, you got to put pressure on the defense. So we talked about several times. You could put a runner on third, and it absolutely changes the whole scenario with a pitcher, the catcher, the pass ball, runners in scoring position in high school baseball. If you got speed, is absolutely vital. And they limited strikeouts. That was another thing. Put the ball in play, make it back to making the defense make a play, even on the bases. The wind's blowing 35 mile an hour. Stretch that single to a double. Stretch that the chances of that kid making just a pinpoint throw in a 30 mile an hour gust wind is very little. So,
and to your point, the strikeouts you brought up too, because they only struck out twice in the first game and three times in the second game. So five times total. Last year, as you mentioned, they'd have a guy second and first strike out or not being able to move the guys over. And we talked a lot about it, Ryan, and you can maybe attest to this as well. When the Smitties are playing their best baseball, those 7, 8, 9 guys are contributing. Those guys did as well there yesterday.
Yeah, he puts guys at the bottom of the lineup for a reason. Jared Kluick was down there. I think Dutenhofer was down there.
Bowman.
Cogley kid was down there. But, yep. If you watch a lot of baseball, you can see in the body language if a kid wants to be in the 8-9 hole. Yeah, I mean, as he approaches the plate, you can see it. And those 8-9 guys are going up there like, I'm going to set the table for the top of the lineup. We're going to roll this thing over, and we're going to get it going. And that's huge, I think, for Coach Cannelli.
23-8, your final score in Game 1. 20-5 in Game 2 as Ryan Martin joins us here on FSA. And it's not just, we were talking about the wings earlier, it's not just one or two guys that are finding the back of the rope. It's not just one or two guys for the Smitties that are reaching base. Seems like if you look up and down the box score last night, 2-for-3, 3-for-4, 3-for-3. It's not just one or two guys like your 1, 2, and 3 hitters that are getting the job done. Like you talked about 7, 8, and 9. Everybody on this lineup is capable of perhaps greatness.
Yeah, I think he's got a good team approach. I think that's what that contributes to. The guy that I like the most in the middle of the lineup doesn't pop off, is not going to hit, hasn't really got going as far as really hitting the ball and hitting the gap or anything like that. But his discipline at the plate is absolutely tremendous, and that's the Ladner kid.
Yeah.
He goes up there, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to go to first. And if you don't throw me strikes, I'm not going to swing anything out of the strike zone. And if it gets to where I'm down in the count, I'm going to put the ball in play, and it bleeds the other team, the other teammates. I think they just kind of all take that same approach of put the ball in play, don't strike out, hit the ball where it's pitched. I mean, it's just a mental approach that you have to have team-wide, I think.
Yeah, and Rapid City, they struggled with the walks. Obviously, they had double-digit walks in that second game. They had 9 in the first game, Ryan. So the approach, would you have to say, kind of has to remain the same, moving on to Pierre and then Brookings next week? What's your kind of thoughts on that? Because you might see some better arms as the season moves along, right?
Yeah, you got to pound the zone. You got to work inside out. You can't, we talked about that on the broadcast. I mean, you can't, have one that's right in the corner and then one that's, way over the catcher's head. It's got to be around the zone so you can get those chase strikeouts and stuff. And, it's only going to get tougher. You got to be able to mix it up and have a pitch that a hitter might chase just out of the zone, not 4 foot over his head. And then all of a sudden you're trying to come back and bring a strike.
Talked a little bit about catching and how pivotal it is at the high school level. I mean, if you have a guy that can be a goalie, we're talking wings. Mm-hmm. If you have a guy that can be a goalie and block everything and give your confidence with your pitcher about throwing a breaking ball, what's your kind of perspective on that just at the high school level, having a catcher that can, maybe save you a couple runs at the end of the day?
Absolutely huge, especially once you get to a runner on third. I don't know what the percentages are, but at the high school level, if you get a guy on third with less than 2 outs, the chances of him scoring are pretty good, because you're going to have either a pass ball, ground ball to the right side, just a contact, you're going to be able to get it in. Even a ground ball to the right side of the infield is a tough play for a kid, a runner from third that takes off. So getting guys to third is the recipe, if you ask me. I mean, anything we do to get guys to third base.
Can't tell you how many times last night, you guys probably could because you were there, but how many times you had a runner on third in Rapid City at a pass ball or a wild pitch. And it kind of felt like that's what got the Smitties back in the game, as they're down 3-0 earlier, it's just like, all right, here's a pass ball. All right, next thing you know, it's 3-1, and you've got a lot of momentum.
Well, it was funny. I was trying to explain different scenarios. Like, hey, here's your approach at the plate. You got a guy at third. You want to maybe hit it to the right side or in the outfield for a sack fly. And then the pitch would be thrown. It would be a pass ball. And it's like, oh, that's a moot point because there was the pass ball. That's why it's so key if you can have a guy that can just block everything and hop in for the Smitties. He struggled a little bit with it early, but I felt like as the game moved along, he got better with it. And we were talking a little bit, and you could attest to this too, too, because maybe it's just, hey, first time seeing these pitchers, what they can throw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the scenario is always about the scenario, right? Knowing the situation. I mean, even when you got a runner at third, as a hitter, you got to be able to tell yourself, I want to take it deep in the count. You know what I mean? Because the chances of getting that pass ball are pretty good. You know what I mean? It's that approach too, knowing that third guy's on third too, you know, and knowing the scenario is key.
So Ryan, you're an Aberdonian, and the fact that high school baseball is back here in Aberdeen, how excited are you for that?
That's absolutely great. I mean, we've gone several seasons to where the Smitties don't have a spring high school season. Also, we start our Legion season, and everybody's sitting there looking out there going, well, you can tell these guys have been playing baseball longer than we have. Well, no, they're not. You know what I mean? We're having practices. We're playing games. The Legion season starts. We'll have the same amount of games. And that was kind of the confusion last year. Like, why does somebody have 18 Legion games and we got 40? Well, because we weren't playing a spring high school season. You know, you don't have to schedule as many Legion games when you played through the high school season. So just to be on the same page with the other teams and our competitors, I think is huge. And, you know, getting out there in the spring and being active, hitting balls to get ready for the Legion season to keep up is absolutely vital. I think there was kind of some controversy whether, you know, you went and played high school if you could play Legion or that type of thing. And I think that's kind of all out the door. You can play both. And then you get the super season senior scenario in. And I'm not a big fan of the super senior deal. I just, you know, they're just guys that are going to come in and they're going to take a spot. And that's the rules and whatever their age and that type of thing. They can't play high school baseball. But you better have a good team if somebody's going to come in like that, and he better be a good leader, and he better be ready to listen to the coach and everything, because you're a 19-year-old kid. You are going to influence this team, and you're going to be a leader on the team, whether you like it or not.
Good point. Yeah, that is a good point. And, you know, you kind of talked about the high school schedule, and I talked to Tommy Gregg on Saturday, and he kind of said, you know, it's kind of glorified spring training, but the games matter. There's a regional tournament. There's a state tournament. So – yes, you're working on some things, but you know you're trying to win and make a deep run, right?
Yeah, and you're representing your school. You know, that's another factor, I think. And, you know, just the way you carry yourself and that type of thing, you're representing the high school. And it takes a little bit more of the 110% club sport out of it. You know, like we're a family, we're all together, which, you know, we all know this day and age, club sports is not going away. You know, it's a big battle. And, I think the high school aspect adds a little bit more feeling to it, a little more family.
So your two cents, what do you think that South Dakota makes baseball a sanctioned sport here in the not-too-distant future? I know they're kind of working on that stuff in the capital city. It's certainly trending that way.
I think so. I hope so. You know, I mean, it's ability to get those games in. I mean, have a little flexibility in your schedule, I think. I think the colleges, do they do that? You know, like we start talking fast-pitch softball, is the game's just set, and if the weather's bad, we got to go. Or is there kind of a flexibility?
Well, there's a lot of times, like, you look at Northern, they'll go down to Florida or Arizona or something like that.
Find good weather, huh?
That helps. I don't know if you have that ability here in South Dakota, but maybe you can jump on the bus and head to Yankton or Sioux Falls or something like that. And they've got that beautiful facility on the north side of town in Sioux Falls. If need be, it's all turf. Mm-hmm. So you could probably head down there if need be. But I'm with you, though. I think it's certainly trending that way.
That's the big question, right? Whether the weather will hold up and that type of thing. I mean, everybody's, the weather's going to be bad. Well, then there's some beautiful days that can really be beneficial, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked a lot about the tradition of the Aberdeen Smitties. And, you know, I know you talk a lot about that beginning early in the season. You know, what's that kind of look like in your perspective?
Well, I mean, the selling point for the high school season was we won state championship in high school baseball. Like, there's other teams that haven't even won a high school state championship. They're competing hard, probably some of the top-level teams in high school right now, and they have won a state title. We have. Why aren't you involved? Well, we're involved now, and I just think it's great. I mean, for baseball in this town and just the baseball fans in Aberdeen, I mean, you look back, I mean, the Pheasants and, you know, the newer Pheasants when they came about, you know, and then What do we got? The circus. We got the hot shots. I mean, I think there's a big baseball community in Aberdeen, and I think they appreciate it.
Well, they're averaging 21.5 runs per game, so it's a pretty good start for them. Again, winners yesterday, 23-8 and 20-5. Any final comments, thoughts to kind of wrap things up?
No, just appreciate us doing the games. Obviously good to get out there and showcase student athletes, great environment, and you know that's kind of what we're about, right? We're about being in the community and showcasing student athletes, and us doing the games is doing exactly that.
All the home games, of course, on HubCityRadio.com there for the high school as well as the Legion season there from Fossum Field. Ryan, thanks for popping in.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ryan Martin here, voice of your Aberdeen Smitties here on FSA. We'll come on back, talk about some high school news and notes from the track and field side of things, as well as Northern softball and Northern State baseball taking 2 out of 3 against Duluth this last week.
With a look at all the latest sports news and scores, this is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420.
And, of course, 98.5 as well. He's Matt McClure. Our thanks to Ryan Martin for joining us here in our last segment, talking some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball. And off to a great start for them, and would encourage you to check out our website, HubCityRadio.com, or the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page for the full postgame discussion there with Ryan Martin, along with head coach Nathan Ganelli. By the way, if I were a head coach for a baseball team, mm-hmm. what would you rather go by? Head coach, manager? I call him Skip.
I like Skip, or yeah. Skipper.
Skipper, yeah.
Skipper, yeah. We'll have to ask Ganelli about that.
He seems to me like he couldn't care less.
Yeah.
I could be wrong with that, but he feels like whatever you want to go with is fine by me.
You're 100% right.
By the way, speaking of which, and I was listening to some podcasts over the weekend, you know, some broadcasting podcasts and what have you. Doesn't it drive you crazy whenever you go up to somebody and you ask them how to pronounce their last name and they're like, "Yeah, you can go with that." And they're like, "No. Tell me how to pronounce your last name, please."
Well, I'll tell you, I talked to the Rapid City coach, Coach Williams there.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool about it. He's like, "Hey, we got some weird names. Here they go." I'm like, I got to tell you, big shout out to you because you don't always get that.
Not only that, but sometimes get the coaches that don't know how to pronounce their kids' names.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how many times over my over decade career in broadcasting, you talk to a head coach and they don't know how to pronounce their own kids' names.
You know what I started doing? Instead of going to the coach.
You got to go to the kid.
You got to go to the kid or you go to the fans that are there, like mm-hmm. the road fans.
Yeah.
You go up to them too.
That sometimes they helps. Don't know.
Sometimes they don't know, but I've tried to. It's an art.
I've ran into that problem too.
It's an art. You got to test the waters. You know, you got to test head coach. You got to go to the kids, and you got to go to some of the players on the team. You got to go to. It's not just as simple as, "Hey, what's your last name?"
Yeah, and then you look at the pronunciation guide, and you're like, "What? That doesn't make any sense."
Something else I do is I'll go back and listen to a broadcast and see how they pronounce it.
Sure. Yeah. No, that works. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. It's just you got to find the person that actually knows what's up. That's for sure. All right. Coming up next around these parts, we'll have Colin Cowherd at the top of the hour. High school track and field from this last weekend on Friday. You had the Huron invite there, and that's Huron, not Huron. Talked about that over the last 4 months. The Aberdeen Central girls would finish in sixth place collectively. Lots of event winners there. You had Taryn Hermanson winning the shot put, Brecken Sancher winning the pole vault, and Lucy Fritz winning the triple jump. So big shout out to those ladies there. On the guys' side, collectively as a team, Aberdeen Central in first place. Multiple first place winners there. Lots of relay wins, as it were. Jordan Foss winning the shot put as well as the discus. Kyson Fiant winning the 300-meter hurdles. Check out our website for more details. But good stuff there from the Central Track and Field girl and boy squads there this last weekend.
Yeah, we're seeing it, right? Multi-sport athletes and big-time effort there from the Aberdeen Central Track and Field squad. Just seeing this Colby Dallin 4x4 relay. He won that with Foss, Burgard, and Dinger. Also, Bigler, Fiant, and Phillips. I mean, just seeing that, it's really cool to see. You know, Jordan Foss running track and then playing baseball last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty cool seeing all that.
Multi-sport athletes hit the nail right in the head. The Ipswich Early Bird meet was held this last Friday as well. Ipswich, their girls would win their collective team crown there, followed by Woolsey Wessington, Warner, North Central, and Falkton rounding out the top five there. That's on the girls' side. And for North Central, the guys would be your medalist, if you will, followed by second place Ipswich, third place Groton, fourth Lemoore, Litch Marion, and then Aberdeen Ron Colley. Their boys would finish in fifth place. You can check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details there. Also of note, some softball from the weekend. You had Redfield all over Sisseton, 22-5 and 24-2. Now, obviously, there's a bit of a difference in terms of skill level in those matchups there, but we continue to see this become a problem for the state of South Dakota in softball. You've got your haves and you've got your have-nots. Teams that have pitchers and teams that just can't figure it out. And that's just another perfect example of that.
Yeah, and I think also it has a lot to do with the pitching, one, and two, the fielding.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it with some of those Central games this year, just the errors in the field.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get that third out when you give a team all those errors, right?
Well, not only that, but we've talked to coaches on the show, and they say, well, we got to put faith in our defense. You got nine errors. How do you put faith in your defense? We saw that last summer. It's like, well, we got to put faith in our defense. It's like, well, when the defense is having multiple times of some buffoonery in the field, how do you put faith in your defense?
It's tough. I mean, it's tough. It's one of those things where you just got to, I guess, stay the course because
– I guess.
It's tough, man. I mean, I thought the defense yesterday – and what I saw this weekend and some of the baseball, I thought it was pretty good. A couple errors.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those games where you get five or six errors, you're like, geez, this isn't good at all.
And you're putting all of the onus on the pitcher then just to blow it past the batter.
Yes.
It's like, strike him out or we're screwed. You know? that's literally what it's like. It's like, hey, you put the ball on the ground. Now that's going to be in center field in a couple minutes.
Yep.
So pretty wild how it works out. Also of note, Sisseton, Britton, Webster, some baseball action. They fell to the Redfield Muskrats 13-3. That's where you were at over the weekend, right?
I was over there over the weekend. It was a little bit closer than that score, 13-3. But again, we actually just finished talking about errors. Errors were the difference in this game. Sisseton and Britton Webster had a couple ones, I mean, that were right in the mitt on fly balls, dropped them, and that allowed Redfield to kind of get some more runs there. I thought Jackson Rude was great. Four innings pitched. Two hits, two walks, but he really set the tone. He pitched well, and Coach Tommy Gregg's squad happy with that W there on Saturday.
13-3, your final tally in that one there. As for Northern State, they had some track and field over the weekend. They were down south in Vermilion. Multiple event winners there. 44 top 10 finishes. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details. Northern State Baseball taking 2 out of 3 over Duluth. They went long ball, big time. You had multiple guys with multiple home runs there against Duluth. Nice to kind of get that monkey off their back a little
bit. Yeah, I think they needed a series like that, right, too? So they've struggled a little bit this year to score the runs that they did, to hit the long ball like they did. Coach Barry's got to be happy with how the team hit, and just like you said, getting that monkey off your back had to feel good for the Northern State Wolves.
Drew Benson, 4-for-4 with 2 homers, 5 runs batted in. Dylan Castellanos, he had a couple of ribbies, 4 of them, as a matter of fact, and a couple of home runs there as well. Northern softball drops a pair to SMSU, 3-2 and 11-5. And if you missed anything from this last weekend, check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details. Coming up next on the show, Colin Cowherd at the top of the hour on FSA.